you tuned to yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's Sitcoms in this hour. Later on, we'll laugh along with the Mel Blanc Show from 1946. But first, a broadcast of The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet before they were on television from NBC, heard on January 23rd, 1949.
They're for the party this afternoon. Ozzie, stop eating those olives. There'll be none left.
Well, they're good. I don't know why you're getting so mad anyway. I'm leaving the pimentos on the plate. Your buffet looks beautiful.
Oh, of course it does. The solid silver with beauty that lives forever is international sterling. And put down that stuffed egg.
Silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. From Hollywood, International Silver Company, creators of International Sterling, presents The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, starring America's favorite young couple, Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. Signs of activity at 1847 Rogers Road, where the Nelsons live. Harriet, busy as a beaver, scurries through the house putting things in order. In the living room, Ozzie, husband and helpmate, keeps the boys out of Harriet's way. Or could it be vice versa?
Say, what's Ozzie doing anyway?
What? He's got a deck of cards and some sort of a book.
Oh, I see. It's a book of card tricks.
Take a card, David. Any card at all.
Okay, let's see. I'll take this one.
No, not that one. Any other card.
Take the one sticking out in the middle. He keeps pushing it at you.
Okay, now I'll take this one.
Eight of spades?
That's right, Pop.
See, David, that trick is what the book calls forcing a card on a person. The eight of spades is the card I wanted you to take.
Well, that's what I figured when you poked me in the eye with it.
Can we go now, Pop?
Well, don't you want me to do a couple more card tricks for you?
Oh, sure, Pop. It's just that some of the kids are waiting for us.
We're supposed to play basketball.
Well, just one more, though, huh? This one's a beauty. This one on page 65. No, don't peek at the book. Now, as you know, there are 52 cards in the deck. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52. You saw them all. 52.
Yeah.
Okay. Ricky, pick a card. Any card at all.
Look out for your eye, Ricky.
Okay, I got one.
Now, tear up the card.
Tear it up?
I know what I'm doing. Tear it up. Now, throw the pieces in the fireplace. Good. Now, I counted out the cards, and you saw there were 52. Ricky has taken one card and torn it up, or so it would seem. But when I count them out, there will be... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 20, 25, 28, 30, 33, 37, 40... 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51. David, would you get me another deck of cards, please?
What's that one called, Pop? Forcing a person to tear up a card?
No, it worked perfectly last night.
Can we go now, Pop?
Well, of course. I was just trying to entertain you a little.
Why don't you do some tricks for Mom? She doesn't play basketball.
Well, your mother's busy making sandwiches and things. Well, that's okay, fellas. You go ahead.
Come on, Ricky. We're late.
Harriet! Harriet, where are you? Harriet! Come on, I know you're in the house. Oh, yes. Harriet, take a card.
Oh, I'm awfully busy, dear. The house is an absolute mess, and the girls will be here at 3 o'clock.
Well, you don't have to stop working. Just take a card. Come on, any card at all.
Okay.
Now, put it back in the deck.
Shuffle a card. Cut them. What was the card you selected?
Ten of diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you look at the top card, please?
All right.
Why, Ozzie, that's wonderful. You fooled me completely. I thought it was going to be the ten of diamonds, and it's the four clubs.
It's pretty clever. It's very clever.
If you'll pardon me, dear, I have so much to
do. No, just one more, huh? This one is called Forcing a Card on a Person. Now, take a card, anyone at all.
Oh, my eye.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll get it, if I can see it.
Get you in the eye.
Hello?
Hello, Harriet. It's Mother.
You try it again. Now, take another card.
Hello, Mother. How are you?
Fine, dear. How are you?
Here, take a card. Now,
I'm talking to Mother.
Yes, I know you are, dear.
I was talking to Ozzie.
Oh, it sounded like you said you were talking to Mother.
Well, I was, but I was talking to Ozzie.
Here, now, any card at all.
Pardon me, Mother. Ozzie, stop it.
Shall I call back later, dear?
Card tricks for me.
Here, now take a card.
Just a minute, Mother.
That's it. Now put the card back, but remember it.
What card did you get, dear?
The ten of clubs.
Harriet, you told me the card.
I told Mother.
Now, take another one.
What's that, Mother?
I didn't say anything.
You would? Oh, I know he'd be delighted.
What did she say?
She wants to know if you'll come over and entertain her this afternoon. Mother loves card tricks.
What?
Harriet, I said no such thing. I'm not going to be your husband's sitter.
Well, go ahead and talk to your mother. I want to practice this a little more. David, Ricky.
This is the afternoon you're having the girls over, isn't it, dear?
Yes, Mother. It's 3:00.
That's what I thought. And I'm happy to tell you, you couldn't have picked a better day. I looked up your horoscope, and today is your day to meet people. You're bubbling over with personality.
Well, that's nice to hear, but frankly, I think I'd bubble a lot more if I could get Cardini out of the house.
Who, dear?
Shuffles Nelson. Better known to us as Ozzie. He's been pick-a-carding me to death all day. Somebody gave him a book of card tricks for Christmas, and unfortunately, he's just discovered it.
Well, now, dear, you don't want to hurt his feelings. If you want Ozzie out of the house, I'll give you a formula I used to use on your father. It got him out of the house every time.
Well, go ahead. I'll try anything.
It's just ordinary psychology, but it always works. Just tell him how nice it is having him around the house.
Is that all?
No. Then you ask him to help you with a few things.
And that's all there is to it?
No, not quite. Now, this part is very important. Step back and make sure the door is open.
Well, thanks for the advice, Mother, because I've got a million things to do.
I know what a nuisance it can be having interruptions when you're getting ready for a party.
Yes, well, thanks, Mother. I've got
men
to finish
just don't realize when they're in the way. They aren't as sensitive to those things as women are.
You're right, Mother.
It works every time. Say you want one thing, and they'll do the other.
Yes, Mother. Well, I really have to finish
really
my...
Really clever, isn't it? But it's reliable. Just say the opposite. Am I holding you up, dear? If I'm keeping you from your work, I'll get off the fold.
Well, frankly, Mother... No, not at all. Keep right on talking, Mother.
Okay. Goodbye, dear.
What does your mother want?
Oh, she just called me up to tell me about my horoscope. According to Mother, this is a good day for me. The tea party will be a tremendous success.
Oh, good for you. I sure get a kick out of your mother in that astrology book. Pick a card, Harriet.
Oh, Mother. You know, dear, it's awfully nice having you around this afternoon.
What'd you say?
I say it's awfully nice having you around.
Well, after being married 13 years, I'm glad to hear you finally say that.
I mean today in particular, dear. You're such a steadying influence. You're so much fun, too. Here, let me hang this dust rag over your arm. And not many women have such a wonderful husband. Let me lean this mop against you. You're certainly...
Now, where's my coat? I know what you're up to.
What do you mean, what I'm up to?
Harriet, your mother's a fine woman. But when it comes to psychology, she should stick to being a fine woman.
What are you talking about?
I know what you're trying to do. She told you to try a little psychology on me, but it's not going to work.
Oh?
You know I know reverse psychology. You pretend you want me around the house, so I'll leave. That's reverse psychology.
Oh?
But Knowing that I know reverse psychology, you try reverse psychology. You see, you say you want me inside, so I'll think you want me outside. Actually, you want me inside. But thinking you want me outside, I stay inside. But I'm going to fool you. I'm going outside.
Me, dear.
I just know psychology. You can even reverse psychology, so it's triple reverse. Now, that works this way. You want me outside. I think you want me inside, but you really want me outside. So instead of staying outside, I stay... No. I go outside.
Ozzie?
Yes?
Pick a card.
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hello, Sarnie.
What are you chuckling about?
It's amazing how people can go off on ridiculous tangents.
Who'd you have in mind?
Harriet's mother, for instance. A wonderful woman and very intelligent. But she got a book of astrology for Christmas, and now she pesters everybody to death with horoscopes. All this silly junk.
I'm not so sure about that, Oz. An awful lot of people believe in that stuff.
Oh, a lot of people believe in anything, Thorny.
What's your horoscope for today?
She didn't tell me mine, just Harriet's. This is a very good day for Harriet. A lucky day. Oh, pick a card, Thorny. Any card at all.
Let's see. I'll take this one. Funny she didn't tell you your horoscope.
Now put it back in the deck. That's it. You mean maybe mine isn't so good for today? Unlucky day or something?
Yeah. Well, naturally, she wouldn't tell you. She wouldn't want you to worry.
If this were a dangerous day for me, Harriet wouldn't let me out of the house, you see? She'd insist...
Something the matter, Ross?
Well, come to think of it, she did try to keep me in the house. She even used reverse psychology.
Then what are you waiting for?
Oh, Thorny, those horoscopes are a lot of silly nonsense.
Well, maybe yes and maybe no. I happened to look mine up in a book one day, and it said a relative will cause you financial worry.
Well?
That same afternoon, I got a letter.
From a relative?
Uh-huh. Uncle Sam wanted $55 more income tax.
Wait a minute, Thorny. It just dawned on me. Harriet wants me to stay in this afternoon, and for a very good reason.
Well, sure, your horoscope.
No, this has nothing to do with horoscopes. She's giving a tea party this afternoon. Of course, I should have thought of it. She wants me to entertain with my card tricks. Oh, by the way, what happened to the card you picked?
You put it back in the deck and shuffled it.
Oh, we got to talking here. I forgot which one.
That's it, right there.
Well, how can you tell?
I can still see the dent you put in it with your fingernail. Get back in the house, Oz, please. I'm worried.
Ozzie, what are you doing back? I'd hope... I thought you'd gone for the day.
Oh, Harriet, I couldn't leave you in a lurch. I'm back to lend you a hand.
Oh, but honestly, dear, I don't need one. I'm doing beautifully.
Oh, Harriet, never mind the psychology. Why didn't you just come out and say you want me to entertain with my card tricks?
Your card tricks? Oh, Ozzie, really, dear, you wouldn't want to do your tricks for a lot of women. We wouldn't appreciate them.
Harriet, if you don't want me in the house, just say so.
Ozzie, I love you dearly, but I don't want you in the house this afternoon.
You're reverse psychology. When will you learn that I'm wise to that? You say you don't when you do.
Okay, dear, I'll confess. I hate to impose on you, but do you suppose I could coax you to do a few card tricks for the ladies this afternoon?
Just as I thought. Of course I will, dear. Here, pick a card.
Oh, my eye.
Do you suppose... Could Thorny be right about Ozzie's horoscope? Or is he just jumping to conclusions? It's human enough, goodness knows. Take some of you, for instance. You know the way prices have been soaring the last few years. Now, who could blame you if you jump to the conclusion that international sterling prices have risen, too? But here's the wonderful thing about international sterling. Prices have not gone up. Other leading silver people have raised their prices, but your favorite international sterling pattern costs the same today as in 1944. Why, do you know you can save $20 by getting 8 play settings in an international sterling pattern like Spring Glory rather than some other sterling? Yes, sir. And with that $20, you could buy 8 additional teaspoons. This is international sterling, mind you. Solid silver that is artist-designed, created and finished in jewel-like detail at the hands of master craftsmen. See it at your International Sterling dealers. Choose it with pride. Cherish it always. For the solid silver with beauty that lives forever is International Sterling. See that man with poker deck in hand following Harriet Nelson around the dining room? That's Ozzie Nelson, father, husband, and take a card. Ozzie's always been fascinated by the art of prestidigitation. Perhaps he'll not stop with mere card tricks, but go on to greater things. Wonderful, mysterious, unbelievable feats of magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, in my right hand you see a pistol. In my left hand I hold a small boy.
Hello, everybody.
I take aim with the pistol.
Hello, everybody.
I pull the trigger. And in my left hand, you now see a small boy with a hole in his head. Ladies and gentlemen, before me you observe a table. On the table, a high silk hat. Into this hat I shall now break several eggs. A quart of milk. Two or three ripe tomatoes, and a bottle of ink. I take the magic wand, wave it above the hat, and presto, I reach inside the hat and...
Hello, everybody.
A small, messy boy with a hole in his head. Gentlemen, I shall now perform the greatest trick ever conceived. Standing before me, you see a long wooden box. In this hand, I have a saw. And in this hand, I have a small boy...
Hello, everybody.
...with a hole in his head. I now place the small boy in the box. Put the lid on, and now I saw... The box is now in two pieces. I separate the pieces and...
Hello, everybody.
Yes, sir, there's no telling how far Ozzie may progress in the field of magical science. Perhaps he's about to spring one of his newest mysterious tricks at this very moment.
Harriet, take a card.
Oh, Ozzie, please, I've got to make these sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Take a card.
All right.
Now, I'll close my eyes while you slip it back in the deck. Okay? Now I shuffle. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Give me back the card and take this slice of ham out of the deck.
Oh, see who's at the door, will you, dear?
Hello, Mrs. Nelson.
Oh, hello, Emmy Lou. Come on in.
I brought over the napkins Mrs. Nelson wanted to borrow for the tea this afternoon.
Take a card, Emmy Lou.
Oh.
Well,
my goodness, there seems to be no end to your talent.
Well, I've only been doing them for a few days. I'm really not very good yet.
Oh, yes, you are. You're wonderful. You're terrific.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me do the trick first. Here, take a card.
Which one do you want me to take?
Any one at all. Yes?
The King of Diamonds.
No. Emmy Lou, you're not supposed to tell me the card. I'm supposed to tell you. You see, that's the trick. All right, try it again. Now, pick a card.
Let me see. I'll take this one.
Now, don't let me see it.
Okay. Now, what do I do?
Put it back in the deck.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Now, what did you say? Watch carefully now, because I'm going to shuffle.
I'll stand back.
I look through the cards, and there's the one you picked out, the Five of Hearts. That's it, isn't it?
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry, Mr. Nelson. I got so excited, I forgot to look. Do it again.
Well, I better rest my fingers a while. My little pinky's getting a Charlie horse.
How come you're staying at home today with all these women coming to tea?
Well, Mrs. Nelson wanted me to stay around and sort of keep things going.
Oh, how thoughtful, Mr. Nelson. How considerate of you. You're the kind of man I want to marry.
Oh, Annie Lou.
You are, Mr. Nelson, a perfect darling. A man who's just one of the girls.
Are you sure you're not looking at me from an angle? The reason I'm here is because, well, Mrs. Nelson has practically forced me to stay. You see, she wants me to entertain with my card tricks. She kept coaxing me, so I finally gave in.
Oh, that's just like you.
Well, there's another factor involved, too. Mrs. Nelson's mother has a lot of faith in astrology, and she told Mrs. Nelson... This is silly. She told Mrs. Nelson my horoscope said it'd be dangerous for me to go out today, but of course I don't believe in that stuff.
Oh, I wouldn't scoff if I were you. You're talking just the way poor Cousin Susie talked before she passed on.
She didn't believe in astrology?
No. Mother warned her that the horoscope said she shouldn't go roller skating. But how can you reason with anyone 94 years old?
Ozzie! In here, Harriet. Just stacking, looking over my cards.
Oh, the girls are here and I told them all about your tricks. They're dying to see them.
I've been thinking it over, and I don't think I'll come down, Harriet.
Well, for goodness sakes, why not?
Oh, my tricks aren't really perfected.
Oh? Well, suit yourself, dear.
You mean you aren't even going to coax me?
Oh, of course I am. Please come down, dear. The girls will be terribly disappointed if you don't.
No, Harriet.
There's chocolate cake.
No.
Vanilla ice cream?
No.
That attractive Mrs. Walker's here. She was asking if you're still as handsome as ever.
Chocolate cake? Well, just a few tricks. There you are, ladies. The three of clubs. please, lady. Not too much applause. I get a headache very easily. For my next trick, I shall attempt to find not one, not two, not three, but four hidden cards.
Oh, you can do it, Tootsie Roll.
Thank you, Mrs. Canfield. And now if four of you will take cards, Mrs. Douglas, Mrs. Buckley, Mrs. Dunkel, Mrs. Walker. Mrs. Walker. Now, each of you look at your card. That's it. Now, place them back in the deck. Several times. Now, right from the top of the deck, 1, 2, 3, 4, your cards, ladies.
Oh, good for you.
That's going to be sensational.
Oh, you know what you're doing, Tootsie Roll.
Thank you, Mrs. Canfield.
Oh, Mr. Nelson, that was simply marvelous.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mrs. Walker. Oh, Mrs. Walker, take a card.
Fine. Now, what shall I do with it?
Why don't you keep it? I have a whole deck.
Is this one of your new tricks, Ozzie?
Oh, no, you're up to your old tricks, aren't you, Dusty?
Mr. Nelson, this is positively the most amazing trick I've ever seen.
What trick is that, Mrs. Gibbons?
Oh, don't play innocent. You know perfectly well. Look, girls, isn't he marvelous? He didn't even come near me, and here's a card in my ham sandwich.
Oh, well, that must have happened this... I think if you'll check that card, you'll find it to be the Six of Salami. Now, this is a new one, girls. I think you'll like this one. Let's see, Mrs. Canfield.
Oh, yes.
Very quickly now, take three cards, any three.
This one, this one. And this one.
Now, according to my calculations, they should all be exactly the same suit. Now, take a look.
Oh, isn't that marvelous? They're all the same.
Thank you, ladies. Here they are, the Two of Spades, the Nine of Diamonds, and the King of Hearts. They're supposed to be the same.
Well, they are. Aren't they? They've all got bicycles on the back.
Now, girls, I think I have time for just one more trick. Now, what can...
Goodbye, girls. I'm...
so glad that you could all come.
Goodbye.
It's
goodbye.
Wonderful.
Goodbye, Tootsie Roll.
She keeps calling me Tootsie Roll. I don't know whether she thinks I'm sweet or I'm built like one.
Oh, what do you care, dear? Everybody had a wonderful time, and you deserve all the credit. You were absolutely terrific.
Oh, thank you, dear. As a matter of fact, I have several engagements requesting my services. Mrs. Gibbons wants us for dinner Friday. Bring my card. Mrs. Hodges wants us over Saturday. Bring my card. Mrs. Dunkel wants us over Sunday. Bring my card. Mrs. Floyd wants me over tomorrow.
Bring your card?
No, bring my plunger. Her sink is stopped up.
Well, anyway, everybody had a wonderful time, and we owe it all to you.
Well, you wanted me to entertain. The least I could do was try.
Oh, no, dear. That's why I feel so guilty. I did my best to keep you out of the house.
Harriet, what are you trying to give me? You wanted me in the house. I know all about my horoscope saying it'd be dangerous for me to go outdoors today.
What horoscope?
Well, didn't your mother tell you that?
Mother didn't even mention your horoscope.
Well, I got the idea someplace. What are you doing?
I'm just curious. I want to see what your horoscope is for today. See, you're Pisces, aren't you? March 20th. Pisces.
Look under Tootsie Roll.
Here it is. Oh, it's lucky you did stay in today.
Well, then Thorny was right. It could have been dangerous.
Not for you, dear, but for me. Listen to this. Warning to wives. Be careful of your husband. Today is the one day in the year he is irresistible to women. Well, no wonder you were such a tremendous success with your card trick.
Irresistible? Oh, that stuff's a lot of nonsense. Harriet.
Yes, dear?
I think I'll take a stroll down to the corner and get a paper.
Oh, Ozzie, how can you be so cruel?
Cruel?
Well, of course, dear. Didn't you hear your horoscope? You're irresistible to women today.
Oh, Harriet, stop kidding.
But you really are, dear. I ought to know. I'm a woman. Please stay home.
Okay, if it'll make you happy, I'll stay in the house the rest of the day.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
Well, thank goodness. I was afraid I was going to have to do all those dishes by myself.
Ozzie and Harriet will be back in just a moment. Well, men, now you know how to become an irresistible hit with the ladies. Just fix yourself up a good horoscope.
Do what I did. Get yourself a job in Mr. Jonathan's silverware store selling International Sterling Spring Glory Pattern. Gosh, Mr. Smith, I can't keep the ladies away.
Well, I should hope not. Spring Glory is one of the loveliest patterns International Sterling has ever created.
Boy, do those gals love me. I bring out my velvet mat and put down a knife, fork, and spoon in the Spring Glory pattern. Then I point out the unusual features, like the openwork on the handle and the way it unfolds into one perfectly carved flower. Why, Mr. Smith, I have those women hanging on my every word.
Yes, especially when you mention the price, I imagine. For International Sterling alone among leading silver people has not raised prices since 1944.
It's irresistible International Sterling that brings all those women into Mr. Jonathan's silverware store.
Well, all I know is that no woman can ever resist the solid silver with beauty that lives forever, and that's International Sterling.
Harriet.
Yes, dear?
Are you asleep?
Not quite. Why?
I just figured out how to do that trick I couldn't remember this afternoon. Take a card.
Ozzie.
Any card at all.
Ozzie?
Yes, dear?
It's after midnight. You're no longer irresistible to women.
Tune in again next week to another adventure of Ozzie and Harriet, starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard. This is Vern Smith speaking.
This is Horace Height to tell you that in just a few seconds, you'll hear a picked group of America's great young entertainers competing for fame and stardom in our show on NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 23rd of January, 1949 on NBC. The show would transition to television in 1952, and after a long run of 435 successful episodes, wrapped up in 1966, with Ozzie Nelson, much like the radio program, directing and co-writing most of the broadcasts. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark LeVilnier. Now time for an episode of The Mel Blanc Show. It's about a new radio from November 5th, 1946 on CBS.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle presents The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Earl Ross, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and Mel Blanc, the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Good evening, folks.
It's all fine and dandy, sugar candy, when I've got you. Then I only see the sunny side. Even trouble has its funny side. When you're gone, sugar candy, I get lonesome, I get so blue. When you're handy, it's fine and dandy, but when you're gone, what can I do? I get lonesome, kind of blue. When you're gone, what can I do?
Thank you, sportsman and Victor Miller. Well, last night was date night in Mel Blanc's little town, and in almost every house, prospective father-in-laws were bidding cheery goodbyes to courting swains. In the Anderson house, Mr. Anderson was saying, "Good night, Joe."
"Good night, Mr. Anderson."
And in the Brown household, Mr. Brown was saying,
"Good night, Sam."
"Good night, Mr. Brown."
And in the Colby house, where Mel Blanc spent the evening courting his girl, Betty, Betty's father, Mr. Colby, was saying,
"Get out of here and never come back again!"
"Good night, Mr. Colby."
So the next morning, we find Mel sitting, standing in his fix-it shop, talking to Betty's kid brother, Tommy.
"You know, Tommy, I can't figure your father out."
"What do you mean, Mel?"
"Well, I don't know whether he likes me or not. Last night he threw me out of the house, and yet the night before he said, 'Mel, go out and take my car.' He even escorted me to the driver's seat and started the motor, waved goodbye, and said, 'Mel, run her all night.'"
"Well, what's wrong with that?"
"In a locked garage?" "It doesn't look right."
"Well, it's your own fault, Mel. You act too much like a weakling."
"I'm a weakling? Your father's the one who's a weakling. Why, yesterday he was strangling me for 10 minutes before he finally let go of my throat."
"Well, that's because he thought you were dead."
"Well, I fooled him. Blue is my natural color."
Mel, why don't you use a different approach to my old man? Stop walking in your hands and knees. Why don't you be pleasant? Crack a few jokes.
Say, that's a great idea, Tommy. After all, I'm a natural-born comedian. Listen to this great joke, kid. It seems George Washington's father bought him a little hatchet. And that night, little George, instead of chopping down a cherry tree, sneaked into his father's room and tried to take a chip off the old block. You get a chip off the old block. Hatchet, hatchet.
Hatchet yourself. You laid it.
Fine way to talk to your prospective brother-in-law. Don't forget, someday I'll marry your sister Betty, and then, who knows, you may even have a little nephew that looks just like me.
So I'll be a monkey's uncle. Oh, now stop kidding yourself, Mel. You'll never marry my sister as long as my father hates you like he does.
Yeah, that's what you think. Oh, you better go, Tommy. Here comes my lodge president, Mr. Cushing. He's a very important guy.
Oh, is that the lodge Pop is trying to get into? The Loyal Order of Benevolent Zebras?
Yeah.
"Well, greeting, Brother Zebra. Agagaboo, agaboo-boo, aga."
"Greetings, Mighty Potentate. Agagaboo, agaboo-boo, aga." So long, Tommy. This is all secret lodge business.
You know, I get it. Agagaboo. What's such a secret? I said that before I could talk.
I just came around to remind you about the important meeting tonight, Mel. Looks like we're about to get that priority to build a new large auditorium.
Gee, I thought there were a lot of people ahead of us.
Well, the top priority went to the pool hall. Then came the saloon and then the bowling alley. We're ahead of only one person.
Who's that?
A veteran who wants to build a house. And another thing, Mel, we're voting on Colby's application for membership.
I thought Betty's father was voted in last year.
Well, he didn't get quite enough votes, so we declared him a zebra without stripes.
Well, what's that?
A jackass.
Well, I sure would like to be there to vote for him, but I've got something more important. I got to go up to Mr. Colby's house and square myself with him.
Why, are you in trouble with Colby again? What'd you do this time to make him mad?
Well, last night Mr. Colby finally got delivery on his new 1946 console radio. You should have seen it. They delivered it in a beautiful plastic crate. In fact, it was so beautiful it got me all confused.
Well, what did you do?
I threw out the radio and plugged in the crate.
So that's why he tossed you out of the house again, huh?
Yeah. I've been tossed on the lawn so much I'm beginning to feel like the afternoon paper. Gee, if I only knew what to do to make Mr. Colby like me. I can't even get near him.
Well, Mel, why don't you send your assistant, Zookie, over? You let him deliver a box of candy and attach a personal note. Nothing better.
Hey, that's a good idea. Thank you, Mighty Potentate.
Well, anything to help a brother zebra, you know. So long, Mel. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Ugga, boo, boo, ugga, ugga, boo, boo.
Oh, careful, Mel. You slipped up on that password.
Well, what do you mean?
You uggered when you should have booed.
Now to get a box of candy and write a little note. Boy, this is great. I can just see Zookie giving it to Mr. Colby now.
Oh, hello, Zookie. What brings you here?
Oh, hello, Mr. Colby. Mel sent me over with this box of candy.
Oh, huh. That nincompoop Mel is trying to get in good with me. Oh. 2 pounds of assorted fruits and nuts. And a note from him, too.
Yeah, it's a poem. I'll read it to you. Roses are red. Violets are blue. That's why I send these fruits and nuts to you.
Oh, Betty. Betty.
Yes?
Look what Mel sent over.
Oh, gee. Oh, that's nice. Oh, hello, Zookie.
Hello,
Betty.
Thanks.
Zookie, Mel must have spent a lot of money on this candy.
Well, he took it out of the bank. You see, he traded in his accordion. He collected some he cut my salary.
Well, the candy's nice, but I don't know whether I ought to forgive Mel for what he did to my new radio. I got a repairman coming in to fix the radio, and it's costing me $50.
Daddy, why don't you give Mel another chance?
I don't want him near that radio. Tonight my favorite program is on, and I want to hear it.
Oh, but Mel could fix your radio. He fixed the Anderson radio, and now it brings in all the you can get Africa. You can get China. You can get Rush. It's dead as a doornail.
However, I can't overlook the fact that Mel did make a peace offering. So, Zookie, you may tell Mel he can come over here tonight to see Betty. But he's got to keep his hands off the radio.
Oh, I'll promise for Mel, Father. Zookie, now you run back to the fix-it shop and tell Mel.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is swell. When I tell Mel, why, he'll be so happy he'll take me in his arms and he'll hug and he'll kiss. Hey, Betty, you better go.
Now back to Victor Miller and the Sportsman doing 5 minutes more.
Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, here am I begging for only 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. your charm. All week long I dreamed about our
da-da-da-da.
Saturday day.
Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay forever in your arms.
The gift of a 2-pound box of nuts and fruits, Mel had made Mr. Colby forget the fact that he almost ruined Mr. Colby's brand-new 1946 console radio. So what was a scene of terror last night has turned into a meeting of jolly fellowship tonight as we once again find Mel in the Colby home.
Try this one, Mr. Colby. It's a liquid cherry.
Oh, no, Mel. I know a caramel, and I see one.
Uh-uh. It's a liquid cherry, Mr. Colby.
Don't tell me. I know it's a caramel. Here, I'll squeeze it.
Well, with a little whipped cream on your head, you'd look just like a sundae. You know, Mr. Colby, that's a wonderful radio you got there.
Yes, and I've waited 5 years for it. I can hardly wait for the repairman to come and hook it up.
Gosh, it's a beauty. 8 push buttons, and all you have to do is press it like...
Mr. Colby, get your hands off my throat! Well, you keep your hands off that radio.
Oh, but Mr. Colby, I'm the handiest man in this town. Even when I was a kid, they called me Kid Fix-It. I'll never forget when I was 10, there was a gas leak in my neighbor's house. Right away, they called me. So I went down the cellar looking for that gas leak with a candle, a box of matches, and a cigarette lighter.
I'll bet they threw you out of the house.
What house? But no kidding, I can really fix that radio.
Oh, hello, Mel.
Hi, Betty.
Daddy, are you getting angry again?
No, but your boyfriend had better stop his stupid bragging. He's just proving what I've always said. His head is full of hot air.
Father, that's not fair. Everyone in town is saying that his head is full of hot air. But believe me, there's nothing in it. Father, Mel is never going to get anywhere unless someone gives him a chance. And who else should give him a chance but those closest to him?
That's right, Mr. Colby. And after all, I'm going to marry your daughter.
You're going to marry my daughter. Have you ever thought about me?
Yes, but Betty's much prettier.
Oh. But Betty, Mel can't support you. You need the necessities of life. How will you get them?
We'll charge them.
All right. You'll charge them. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And then what will you do?
We'll move to another neighborhood and start all over again. Doesn't everybody?
Why? I'd have to be an idiot to let you marry my daughter.
Thank you for your consent.
Oh, I've had enough of this. I'm going to...
Now, look, Mr. Colby, I've taken all I can from you.
Oh, really? What are you going to do about it?
How would you like to step outside?
That suits me fine. Come on.
Okay. Well, Betty, now that we're alone... I think that I ought to...
Mel Blank.
What'd you say, Mr. Colby?
Father, control yourself. You can't strike Mel. After all, he still may be your own lodge brother.
Well, yes. I was supposed to run down to the meeting and see if they'd voted me in. Oh, I'm late already. All right, Betty, you stay here and watch Mel. Now, don't you let him touch that radio. The repairman ought to be here any minute.
Now, don't you worry about it. Goodbye, Father.
Well, goodbye, Betty.
Aren't you going to say goodbye to Mel?
You know, there's one thing that worries me, Betty. With your father hating me so much, you're liable to begin to hate me, too.
Oh, no, darling. I'll always love you. Even though I don't know exactly why. After all, you're not handsome. You're not intelligent. You're not successful. You're not...
Please, Betty, this could go on all night. Well, let's forget about your father for a minute, darling. We're all alone now, and... I have a much more important question to ask you.
Oh, Mel. Well, this is so sudden.
Oh, Betty.
Yes, Mel?
Betty, I...
Go on, Mel. Ask me that question.
All right. Betty, can I fix your father's radio?
Mel, you stay away from that radio.
No, this is my big chance to show off to your father.
But, Mel, are you sure you know what you're doing?
Betty, how can I go wrong? Here's the book of instructions. I'll start right from the beginning. It says, follow the instructions in this booklet very carefully, as this radio represents the result of 102 years of extensive electronic research and can be ruined in 5 minutes by a jerk like you. Betty, your father wrote in this book. Ah, who needs this book anyway? Betty, bring me a hammer and a corkscrew.
Oh, just a minute. Oh, Mel, it's the repairman.
Oh, we don't need him. Send him away.
But...
the radio's all fixed. I'm sorry you had to come.
But...
Is everything all right, Mel?
Sure, Betty, we're all set.
But, Mel, there's a tube left over.
Well, let's not waste it. Screw it into the chandelier. Well, let's go. Turn the knob, Betty.
Nothing's happening.
Well, you've got to give the set a chance to warm up. You see, the tubes are beginning to light up. See, it's getting nice and warm. Now the wires are beginning to light up. And now the set is beginning to light up.
Shall I call the mechanic?
Call the fire department.
Oh, don't be silly. I'll pull out the plug. Oh, gosh, you've ruined the radio.
Oh, Betty, this is the darkest moment of my life.
Well, it's the same for me, Mel.
Well, you're a little better off. I left my life insurance policy in your name.
Oh, Mel, here comes Father. Why don't you try to get away?
Oh, it's too late. Oh, wait a minute. Why should I die without a struggle? I got an idea. I'm a born actor.
What are you thinking of, Mel?
I'll get in back of the radio set and act. Whatever your father tunes in, I'll do.
Oh, Mel, that's ridiculous.
Well, sure, I could do it. I'll hop in back of the set right now.
Oh, Father, I didn't expect you back so soon.
Well, I haven't finished voting at the lodge yet, so I came back. Where's Mel?
Well, he's in back of the, went back.
Oh, went back. Mm. That's good. Well, Benny, I just saw the mechanic's truck pull away from the house. Now I can listen to my radio.
Oh, but Daddy...
I step aside, Benny. It's time for my favorite program, the Movie Guild Playhouse. And tonight they have two big stars. I'll turn it on.
Oh, Sherry, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Oh, Pepe, do you really? Really, do you? Do you really?
Oh, Sherry, you know I do. I do. I do.
Really? I'm so glad you do. Really, I am. Really.
This is dreadful. I'm going to write to the Movie Guild Playhouse people.
Address all letters to 160 South Vista Street.
This is unbelievable. I got to get some music. Oh, yes, the Philharmonic is on.
The Philharmonic? Oh, but Daddy, he can.
I'll just push the button here.
And now the house lights dim in Carnegie Hall. The spotlight picks up the conductor as he mounts the podium. And now the orchestra plays the overture from Tristan and Isolde.
Good heavens. I've never heard the Philharmonic play like that.
And now the Philharmonic continues with Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Oh, well, maybe this will be a little better. This is impossible. I'll switch back to the Movie Guild.
Pepe, I do love you, really. I do, really.
And I do, too. Do, too. Do, too.
Oh, it's getting worse all the time. I'll turn back to the Philharmonic. Oh, no! Oh, there's something wrong with this radio. Oh, maybe I'll have better luck on the short wave.
Pashlovich, Matuka, Daronik, Giboya, Gifinia, leading by 50,000 votes. Kovniak, Bianite, Luvia, 16, UCLA, Nyati. Anya, Bruka, Ichia, Doma, Pania, Lukia, Eastern Columbia, Broadway at night.
Heard anything like this in my life. Something is wrong with this radio.
Father,
I'll just feel around in the back of the set. Now, let me, Betty.
Yes, Father?
One of these tubes has hair on it. Wait just a minute. I look behind the set. Mel Blanc, what have you got to say for yourself? Think you'll break every bone in... oh, it's Mr. Cushing. Oh, come in, sit down. I'll be through in just a minute.
Well, greetings, Mel. Agagabuag. Mr. Colby, why are you standing on Mel's head?
I'm not standing on his head. I'm jumping up and down.
Well, you'd better stop, because the lodge is deadlocked. 12 for you and 12 against you. And Mel has the deciding vote.
He has? He has? Well, Mel, my son, come on, get up off the floor. Are you going to vote for me?
Well, get your foot out of my mouth first, Mr. Colby.
Oh, yes. Pardon me. Mel, my boy, tell me, am I in the lodge?
Mr. Cushing, let me whisper my decision in your ear.
Well, am I in?
Mr. Colby, allow me to be the first to say, agga, agga, boo, agga, boo, boo, agga.
Mel, my boy!
Agga, agga, boo, agga, boo, boo, agga.
And this is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening. Good night, and
that's all, folks.
This is Bud Easton reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
The Mel Blanc Show on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of November, 1946 on CBS. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for listening.